In focus today, the King of Nepal seized power Tuesday from the country's elected government in a move he says is necessary to defeat an escalating communist uprising. But many outside observers say the firing of the government and King's declaration of a state of emergency represents a dangerous suspension of democracy. VOA's Brent Hurd reports on factors behind the mountain nation's political crisis.
For nearly a decade, civil war between Nepalese government forces and Maoist rebels has shattered the traditional serenity of this Hindu kingdom, a land of spectacular beauty and home to the world's tallest peak, Mount Everest. The civil strife has killed about 11,000 people and devastated Nepal's tourism, its most vital industry. King Gyanendra accused the government of Prime Minister Sher Bahadur Deoba of failing to stop the communist insurgency, amid signs that the rebels' attacks have intensified in recent weeks. The king, on Tuesday, sacked the entire government, detained leading politicians, cut off communications with the outside world, and suspended basic civil rights. Many analysts say the move does not come as a surprise. Tarashita Schaefer, director of the South Asia Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says the dire situation is a result of troubling trends.
The first is the growing and very painful Maoist insurgency, which is taking place over the past decade and gathering strength in a number of parts of the country. The second is the growing authoritarianism of the current king, who became king after the previous king and most of his family were killed in a palace fight.
In that palace fight 4 years ago, Nepal's crown prince massacred the popular King Banendra and much of the royal family, clearing a path for the late king's less popular brother to take the throne. Ms. Schaefer says the new king was never comfortable with Nepal's 1990 transition from an absolute monarchy to a more limited constitutional monarchy, Nepal's first step towards a multi-party democracy. But many analysts say Nepal's democratic experiment has been a troubled one, with frequent government shakeups. Meanwhile, nearly 40% of Nepal's 27 million people remain poor. Ms. Schaefer says this widespread poverty has fueled the Maoist rebellion that aims to replace the monarchy with a communist republic.
The underlying causes are a combination of extreme poverty and very weak governance. The government has never been able to get much by way of development services out into the countryside, so there was no difficulty for the Maoists in going into villages and finding people who felt that they weren't benefiting much from whatever was happening in the country. They've been able to use fear, as well as the promises of a better tomorrow, to get some kind of foothold.
The uprising has spread to every province in the country. Chitra Tiwari, an independent analyst of South Asian Affairs, says nearly two-thirds of the country is now in rebel hands. He says the heavy-handed government tactics have failed to stop it.
The government tried to deal with the insurgency not as an insurgency, but as a law and order problem. They could have launched several socio-economic programs in the district that were more sympathetic to the Maoist rebels. Instead of giving any carrots, the government simply continued to supply only the sticks.
Mr. Tiwari says the king's dismissal of the government is risky. Some Nepalese support him, but after the 2001 massacre, many have lost faith in the royal rulers, traditionally regarded as the incarnation of the Hindu god of protection. Mr. Tiwari adds there is no